Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness. Brought to you by Forever Family Foundation. On the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name. The echo is haunting. The echo is always the same. I call your name. The echo is haunting. An echo can never be changed. So I call your name.
Everybody, and welcome to Signs of Life Radio Medium Insights Hour, where we get to explore the mindsets of many accomplished spiritual mediums on a variety of topics related to the study of consciousness, spirituality, and of course, the afterlife. My name is Roman Karpyshka, and as your host, I have the honor and privilege of conversing with super talented mediums from all over the country, all over the world, as a matter of fact. And today we have none other than the very, very talented Kim Russo. I'm so excited that Kim is here to join us. Kim is she has been certified as a medium with the Forever Family Foundation since 2005. She sits on the foundation's medium advisory board, and she's also a research medium with the Winbridge Institute for Applied Research and Human Potential. She starred in the Lifetime Movie Network's The Haunting of and Psychic Intervention. She's the author of a book called The Happy Medium, Life Lessons from the Other Side, and her newly released book, Your Soul Purpose, Learn How to Access the Light Within. Sometimes, referring to herself as a translator for the spirit world, she prides herself on the accuracy in understanding your language and is most careful to interview the spirit coming through during a reading. And as a person who has received a reading from her, I can tell you, folks, she is dead on. It's incredible how good she is. So I'm super excited to have her. She's established herself as one of this generation's most evidential mediums and appears annually at hundreds of engagements across the country. Her website is kimthehappymedium.com. Our show tonight is sponsored by a fine group of supporters such as the Kamluck Center, Love Knows No Death, Janet Mayer, Hugs from Heaven, Lloyd Auerbach, Dr. Parisietti, and many others. And just like every second Thursday of the month when I do the show, this show is conducted for research and informational purposes. So your questions, of course, are more than welcome, but please keep in mind our mediums never do any readings on my show. So you're welcome with any questions related to the topic. And if you have questions, please feel free to call. We love calls. It's at 1-800-627-6008. Our main topic of discussion tonight is...
I'm just going to chime right in here just for a second. Forgive me, okay. Folks. That's 888, not 800. It's been a while.
Sorry.
Roman, I love you, my friend, and I love your audience. They're the best and the most loyal. And you know what? They want to know what it's all about, and I'm going to leave it at you to espouse that. Thank you.
Okay, great. Thank you for chiming in there, Don. That was Don, our producer, who reminded me that I cannot read my handwriting. So it's 1-888-627-6008 if you want to call in. And tonight's topic of discussion is free will. Not Free Willy, that's the movie, but free will. Okay, so with all that said, welcome to the show, Kim. Hello, are you there, Kim?
Yes.
Okay, welcome to the show. We are so glad you're with us. How are you doing?
Very, very good. Thank you for having me.
Oh, of course. It's a pleasure. And as I said in my introduction, I'm very excited to have you with us because I know firsthand that you are the real deal. You are so good at what you do, and you know it's amazing how how accurate your readings are. So it's just
thank you so much. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Of course, of course. So, Kim, let's tell me, what age were you when you discovered your abilities?
Oh, so the abilities was mm-hmm. I was in my late 20s. When I discovered what was happening to me. Mm-hmm. I was a mom with three kids.
Oh boy.
And it really took me by surprise, but it goes back way earlier than that, when I was seeing spirits at the foot of my bed every night growing up.
Growing up, like a little kid growing up?
Yes, when I was a little child, I could remember back. I trace it back to the age of 9, but then further research on my journey, I realized that when I was 5, I had put a pin, a safety pin, in the electrical outlet underneath the Christmas tree, just as a curious kid that I was.
Oh, yeah.
And I shot across the room. You know, the electrical current shot me across the room.
I have done the same thing with my dad's car keys.
Oh, wow.
The Camlack Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the Camlack Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlack.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
We all grieve in different ways, and let's face it, grief hurts. Losing a loved one is usually the hardest event we will ever face. We can throw our hands up and become hardened by our grief, or we can take positive steps to transform it. Love Knows No Death, a groundbreaking and powerful grief transformation method, can be what you've been looking for to provide some peace and understanding. It was created and written by medical doctor and professor Dr. Piero Calvi Perazzetti, and it's a combination of a self-help workbook and video course. The workbook has the power to lessen grief and foster significant healing, and has already helped countless people to not only lead productive lives, but to do so with the knowledge that they will indeed see their loved ones again. The workbook can be purchased for $19.95 on Amazon or on the ForeverFamilyFoundation.org grief and loss page, where a digital version is also available for $9.95. Love knows no death. Truer words have never been spoken.
Imagine seeing spirits are spontaneously speaking indigenous Brazilian rainforest languages. Janet Mayer, a psychic medium, does just that. In her new book, Spirits, They Are Present, she opens the door to her private life in order to share her compelling, fearful, and at times humorous journey, providing evidence that when we die, we simply make a transition to another life. Spirits, They Are Present, available now at www.janetmayer.net, Amazon, and other online booksellers. Order your copy today.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
Am I Psychic is a mobile app designed using statistics, science, and parapsychological protocols to test psychic ability using fun games. Each game has two unique modes. In psychokinesis mode, influence the game using mind over matter ability. In extrasensory perception mode, guess which random option will be chosen. Am I Psychic can store your results in an anonymous database used to eventually publish in academic journals. Available on the App Store and Google Play. Go to ampsychicapp.com and be a part of proving psychic phenomena to the world. Some profits will be donated to the Rhine Research Center.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation.
Okay, welcome back, everybody, and we apologize profusely. We had some technical difficulties, something with the lines or whatever, but our producers, Don and his brother, they scrambled and they got things working again. And Kim, I apologize for that.
No problem. Maybe it's the other world, you know.
Yeah, you never know. You never know.
They get involved.
They do. But this wouldn't be to their benefit this time, I guess. But, hey, you were just telling me about your childhood and how you stuck something in a socket and you flew across the room. And I was telling you that I did the same thing when I was a kid. So you're not the only one that did that. But you were go ahead. Keep telling your fascinating story.
Years later, when I start back in those days when I was a child and seeing spirit at the foot of my bed every night prior to going to sleep,
mm-hmm.
they never had a voice. They would just stare me down, and
ooh,
they
that
looked
must have been terrifying.
Terrifying. I slept with the covers over my head every night. No matter what I did, they were there, and I never really understood what their message was or what they wanted from me. I was just a child.
Right.
So years later, when I put the safety pin in the electrical socket and shot, I did get electrocuted. My mm-hmm. whole arm was burned and charred. And the doctor wrapped it in with some kind of salve at that time. And he told my mom, don't be surprised if her arm has scarring. And I don't have one scar, which is incredible.
Well,
but years later, fast forward so many years later, when I am now living in my own home with my children and my husband, what happened was one day I just started seeing them appearing again, but this time they were speaking to me in my mind. So I saw one woman standing in the doorway as I was making my bed, and it was a beautiful sunny day, and the sun was coming through the window, and as I turned my body, there was a young girl standing in the doorway, and I knew she was not a solid, she looked transparent, but I can see what she looked like. And when she turned her head, her whole half of her face was burned.
Oof.
And she said to me, I died in a fire. And I heard all of this in my head.
Right.
And she said, please call my mom and dad and tell them I'm okay. And she told me her name and that her parents lived in New Jersey. And I was like, what? Did that just happen?
Wow.
And from that point on, I didn't see them, thank God. I started praying about that. But I was hearing the other realm. There was a breakthrough, and I was hearing... it went something like this. Hi, my name is Jim. I died in a boating accident. Hi, my name is Katie. I died by suicide. And they were, like, introducing themselves. No matter what I did, they were coming to me during the day. So I really, really had to learn what was happening to me.
And probably learn how to control it, too, right?
Yeah. I needed to know, first of all, what it was.
Right.
Because I was raised in a very Christian household.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were taught that if anything like this ever happened, you know, you're possessed. Or you don't. This
yeah.
is taboo. You don't talk to spirits. You don't touch it. You don't communicate with them because there could be evil coming into you.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, I did my research. I went to the church. I went to the priest. I read books. I interviewed my parents. Like, what is this? Is this in our family? And I learned, I knew this, my father's sister has this gift. However, she always lived in another country, and she has a different form of my gift. She is, she channels the energy of not dead people, but of healing energy.
Oh.
And so she's a healer, and people from all around her countryside always would bring their sick children to her, you know, to heal them.
Right.
My dad looked at my mother, and he said, now I'm about 9-10 years old at this point, and I'll never forget, he looked at my mom, and he said, she's just like my sister.
Wow.
And, I mean, so...
That's really interesting.
It sort of parlayed into...
I guess it does run in
me doing my first experimental reading, and then it
hasn't
stopped since.
I mean, even though the abilities are
like the floodgates open.
There's some kind of energy... your roots are tapping into that.
That's all in my first book, The Happy Medium. I wrote about
tonight's topic is about free will.
The Camlack Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the Camlack Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlack.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program. Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program.
Hello, my name's Piero Calvi Parisetti, MD. I invite you to discover my video course on Evidence for Life After Life, a professional counseling resource for the bereaved and the dying.
Transform the fear of death. Heal the pain of a loss by learning about life after life.
For more information and a free preview, visit www.drparisetti.com. That's Dr. Parisetti in one word.
We all grieve in different ways, and let's face it, grief hurts. Losing a loved one is usually the hardest event we will ever face. We can throw our hands up and become hardened by our grief, or we can take positive steps to transform it. Love knows no death. A groundbreaking and powerful grief transformation method can be what you've been looking for to provide some peace and understanding. It was created and written by medical doctor and professor Dr. Piero Calvi Parisetti, and it's a combination of a self-help workbook and video course. The workbook has the power to lessen grief and foster significant healing, and has already helped countless people to not only lead productive lives, but to do so with the knowledge that they will indeed see their loved ones again. The workbook can be purchased for $19.95 on Amazon or on the ForeverFamilyFoundation.org Grief and Loss page, where a digital version is also available for $9.95. Love knows no death. Truer words have never been spoken.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation. a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide support for families who have suffered the loss of a loved one. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707 or on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation.
Welcome back, everybody. And we have Kim Russo on the line with us. Kim, again, we're sorry for all of this. In my 2 years of doing this, I've never experienced it as badly as today. I mean, I've only had one other incident, and that was when Don's home burnt to the ground and his whole studio. So we're talking about free will. And what do you think, how does free will play into, our daily lives and how we operate, this thing we call consciousness, and also into the spirituality part of things? What do you think? What's your take on that?
Well, I am a big believer in free will. And
okay.
From everything that I've been taught by the spirit world and on all my meditation and channelings, I've been told that we do come with a certain plan, you know,
right.
such as an architectural plan for our lives, for our souls, for the mission that we are to carry out.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the times when it's so unfortunate when we become conditioned by the world and society and, so say we have parents that were not very nurturing and
mm-hmm.
they didn't make us learn about self-love, I feel that there are some things that we do based on fear in that we've learned. And so that's not necessarily something that the soul would take the lead and say, no, the soul knows the right thing to do. The heart knows the right thing to do. So where free will comes into me is when you think about that's how you make decisions and what you decide. I believe that we can make decisions in the moment based on our fears as
right.
opposed to love. So I feel
right.
that when we step back, and I still ultimately feel, however, that, you know, the basic plan will get followed out. I believe that it's based on your will, how quickly you are to get to the end point or how slowly. So will you be taking the scenic route or will you take,
right.
you know, like the highway and the expressway? So, yeah, free will really kind of can give you delays on your path. It can even make you, say you're someone who has a lot of pride and your free will just chooses not to forgive people, which is hypothetical.
Well, I know people like that. We all
yeah,
do.
Right? Don't we all?
Yeah.
So therefore, you as the person are the one missing out in the forgiveness arena. And I wrote about that in my second book, Your Soul Purpose. But that is one gift that we were given as a species. You know, there are a lot of animal kingdoms on planet Earth that don't have the gift of free will. They just
right.
go based on, they don't have the gift of rationalization or left brain analytical thinking, and we were given that. So that's why they say, you know, don't think with your head too much. Think more with your heart, because
right.
that'll make the right choice.
And what you said is pretty interesting, because, you know, the opposite of love is not hate. The opposite of love is fear.
Correct.
Absolutely. And, you know, just the unknown. Love is all-encompassing, all-welcoming, and fear is just, you know, the opposite of that, where you're stepping into something that it's unfamiliar territory, and it just makes people react in ways that they would not normally react. I think when you have fear-based, when you're acting on fear, you become more like an animal. And you're acting out of like instinct, and rather than thought and processes and rationalization, and you know, doing what's right.
Well, the way I like to explain it, the way that it was explained to me is, fear is only the absence of light. And when we are in the darkness, all we need to do is flip the switch and turn on the light in a dark room. And so it is with our soul. It's just the absence of light. That's all it is.
Right.
And we're never far from the light. It's always there. It's just our perception and our fear itself keeps us from it.
Right, right, right. You know, I find myself thinking a lot of, you know, I've been through a tragedy in my life, and that's how I turn into spirituality, the search, you know, look for some answers. I have no psychic abilities whatsoever, but I'm a big fan of people like yourself and the whole study of it. But, you know, there's times when I'm sitting there thinking, okay, you know, this is a very material world and we evolved, and, you know, how does spirituality come into, like, let's say we evolved from apes, you know? Were apes spiritual? What is it with all of that? How did we develop this spirituality? Because at some point, you referred to it a little bit earlier, you know, animals don't have the free will. They don't have the cognitive abilities. At what point do we develop that extra thing that makes us human, you know? And did we always have it? You know where I'm getting at?
I do. We were created in the likeness of the Creator. So that's, like said, in many, many different spiritual and religious books.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the Bible that we were made in His image. I'm not necessarily saying God is a man. You know, it's a big energy that is very hard to explain. And
right.
to put a gender on the word God is a little bit restricting, in my opinion. However, for the purpose of identifying what this energy is, we are part of the Creator, and so therefore we have a spirit. So we are, again, the highest evolving. So you have the animal kingdom, the plant kingdom, right? You have the rock kingdom. I don't feel necessarily that those, do they have an aura or an energy field? They do. Do they have a spirit, like a human spirit? No, I don't believe they do, where it's consciousness the way we have consciousness, connected to the divine. So if it's a spoke of a wheel and God is the wheel, we are all the spokes, connected to that one source. We are the source. Because we are connected to it, we are a part of it. So we are it. And that's where every other creation on earth was given to man to enjoy. So those are not necessarily the ones with the spirits. Like, they do say apes are the closest things, and that doesn't mean they don't have feelings. They have feelings. And I do believe they have spirits when you think about the animal kingdom, right? Dogs can give you such love. You don't have love without a spirit. But there are certain levels of vibrations and evolution, you see. So I don't believe that an ape's spirit is as evolved as a human spirit. But that's just me. I could be so wrong, but that's everything that I've learned, and that's what a lot of religions follow, that we were made in the likeness of God. And man was a man and a woman, you see. So that's a good question, but it's pretty deep, getting people to dig deep and think about that one. That's a good one.
Okay, welcome back, everybody, and again, our deepest apologies for the confusion and for the breaks and for the downtime. Kim, are you there with us?
I am. I'm still here.
Okay, you are a great sport for putting up with this. I don't know what to tell you. Just it kind of ruins the momentum a little bit. So I'm trying to remember what we're talking about. We were talking about the. You're talking about God and what our spirit is, how we're part of God, that kind of thing, right?
Well, yes, you did ask me if if animals have spirits, souls and mm-hmm. spirits. And I really believe, like as opposed to humans, you had asked right. me if I feel apes. I do feel that there are a lot of animals in the animal kingdom that are sentient beings, and they feel very mm-hmm. deeply, and they feel grief, and they display it. I do feel that anybody who is able to give love and receive love has a spirit, but right. I don't believe that. I believe there are different variations of evolution. So I do believe that a man's spirit is in the likeness of God.
Right. And I guess the higher the intellect, the more free will, I guess, right?
Oh, sure, because there's, analytical brains and rationalization and, all of that plays in ego. It all plays into mm-hmm. what your decision will be.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right. Absolutely. So, again, I want to remind the callers that if you do want to try to call in, I mean, we are experiencing technical difficulties. The phone in line, if you have any questions for Kim, is 1-888-627-6008. So please feel free to call in, and, we're going to try to get you on the air with your questions. So in the meantime, we got a plethora of questions for Kim. I really admire your work. I think you are fantastic, and I can say that very easily about you because I've experienced your magic firsthand. You're welcome.
I appreciate that.
I don't know if you remember, but it was many, many years ago at the Bob and Friends, I think it's their office in Long Island, where upstairs they had a get-together, and it was a bunch of different parents, grieving parents, that got together, and you did a pro bono seminar for the grieving parents. And I'm telling you, my son came through. You nailed him. He came through, like, perfectly. It was like he was standing there, It was just so perfect. So I just, I thank you for that. It was many years ago, but I'll never forget it.
Oh, so, I did forget it, but thank you for reminding me. I do remember that group. I did not realize you were a sitter in that group.
Yeah, I was a sitter. I was the one with the heavy-duty motorcycle jacket.
I barely remember, but yes, I don't always remember how many people that were touched right through the spirit work that I do.
Yeah, you see thousands of people, so it's it's crazy. Do you think if we don't have free will, do you think that free will is going to be something that we experience as well on the other side? Do you think spirit has free will?
Oh, yes. They tell me that.
Okay.
So in a lot of episodes of The Haunting of that I mm-hmm. have filmed, that's precisely why spirits get trapped, because it is still their free will with the same consciousness not to go into the light. That is their decision. They're so many of them choose not to go because they are not quite sure where they're going. That's number one, fear.
So fear, yep.
Right. Number two, they don't want to leave their family behind, some of them. Some of them feel that they are not worthy to go into this brilliant light that awaits them with their spirit guides encouraging them to go closer to God, and they don't feel worthy. It's almost like as if you, when you are in the physical world mm-hmm. and somebody who has really, really maybe low self-esteem and they have everything going for them, and you have someone trying to show them how wonderful they are, and they will not believe it unless they feel it themselves. So there's the free will right there. It's the same consciousness. So many people believe that, we automatically go to this beautiful, glorious place. And yes, we all have the opportunity to do so, but we first have to decide that we are willing to go.
And worthy.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think another thing that might keep some spirits behind is addiction, right? They might be addicted to their possessions. They might be addicted to certain things.
the three-dimensional realm. Yes, they're not really quite sure, some of them, that they even are dead. But the free will, I'll give you an example. And this is not to scare anybody, make them think that people are going to get stuck 9 times out of 10. That's not the case at all. No, it's actually 9 times out of 10, the spirit, once it leaves the physical body, it has the bigger perception and perspective of what everything truly meant and what their life meant. So when they get this awareness, it's like this epiphanies, and they're like, wow, I was so limited in my thinking. But there have been times when I have been the mediator, medium, for the spirit world and the living, being that mediator between, let's just say, a father and his daughter, and her not wanting him to show up in her reading, and him telling her, if you don't hear me out, I can't move forward.
Right.
So I always say I worked for both sides, not just the earthly realm.
Very interesting.
So the free will of this man is, I'm willing to apologize, and I need to say what I need to say. And then the free will of her being on this end is like, well, I'm not interested in what he has to say. He hurt me. So,
right.
You know, and then
both,
typically...
And both entities don't move on because the forgiveness is not there, right?
Correct. But the free will of not taking that act is there. They each have that free will. Yes.
So the free will can be used against it, you know, not on purpose, but it can be used against progress, basically.
It could be, but it also can be used to make progress. It's all a matter of perception and understanding. When you leave the physical body, you're not looking at life through these two marble-sized lens called our eyes. We are so... Could you picture understanding this vast universe with these two little slits in our head? It doesn't make sense. It's so limited. And that's why the ascended masters such as Jesus and Buddha and so many other great ones, they learned how to... I say beat the system, meaning ascend the physical body, get out, rise above the physical, and you don't need to die in order to ascend, to see the bigger picture. You can do that through meditation. You could do that through a lot of spiritual work and soul work, and that's another big part of my book where I teach that.
Oh, okay. So you actually, so you practice the art of meditation and... You have.
Now, well, that's only one way. There's so many ways, but the biggest way is to understand who you are and not actually the role you play here on Earth. It's more about who you truly are. So in the book, I give questionnaires. It's more or less forcing people to sit down to take a good look at themselves when they otherwise would have never done that.
Right.
And so it's pretty powerful stuff.
And that is your newly released book, Your Soul Purpose?
Correct.
Okay,
because we can't really make any progress unless we understand what exactly is happening.
I cannot wait to pick up a copy for myself.
Great.
It's available right now, right? On Amazon?
Oh, yes, absolutely. It's available on every type of device and as well as audio.
Oh, great, perfect. Now, for the audio, are you actually doing the narrating, or is it somebody else?
No, it is me.
Oh, okay, wow.
Both books that I wrote, I narrated.
Oh, fantastic. Sometimes they get, you know, other people to narrate because...
I know. I don't always like that. I feel like it's my life, my book, my words, and I'd like to speak them.
Of course.
Because words have, you know, voices have vibration, and I feel I could reach my audience with my vibration.
Right, and you have this charming... Brooklyn or New York accent that it just wouldn't be the same if somebody else is saying it, you know?
That's so true. People know me from the TV show, so they know my accent and they know.
Exactly.
They would
and
say, wow, that's not Kim's voice, right?
Yeah, and like I said, people that know me like recognize my accent right away too, because I've been in the United States for about 20 years, but I do come from the Great White North. From Canada, eh? So I used to say A a lot, but I dropped that, so.
Oh, yes. I did the detects an accent of his
voice. Yeah, absolutely. Great. So do you, what do you think about fear? Do you ever have clients that, you know, they're fearful and, you know, of this whole process of mediumship and contacting the other side? And what kind of things do you do to put them at ease?
Well, fear as far as what? Connecting to spirit or just life?
Yeah, because that can stop you from connecting. If you're scared of doing something, it'll prevent you from doing it.
Oh, yes. I have many people who were programmed by their religion, such as I was, that this is taboo, you don't touch this. And what I never understood was I never solicited a spirit. They solicited me.
Right.
So that's where I never really, it didn't make sense. I would always tell people to look a little bit deeper into the reasons why they fear something. And 9 times, again, out of 10, people fear what they do not understand. And they do enjoy when I explain things in layman's terms. And I can't tell you how many times I've heard people say to me from all walks of life, "Well, gee, I never thought of it that way. Or now that you explained it like that, I see it." So it's more about not so much being influenced by people around you, but by making your own decisions. You know, when we turn on the news every day, we're being conditioned to fear our lives. We are socially being conditioned as a human race, because we're all connected to one consciousness, and it's programming. It's all bad news, and it's making us believe.
You know, you turn on the nightly news at 6 o'clock with David Muir, or, you know, this on Channel 13, NBC, the other guy. It's crazy. It's all fear, you know, floods, deaths, shootings. It's crazy.
So, you know, you can totally be the recipient of what is being dished out from other people. And I would always encourage everyone to search your own soul and find out what your truth is. So I can choose not to turn on the news. And it's not so much a matter of not wanting to know, because some people say, "Well, I need to be in the know." And a lot of the times it may not be the truth. It's the truth as they want us to believe it. So that goes with everything, though. So if somebody, you know, teaches me something, just as a parent would teach their child, they're only teaching it to you the way they learned it, which could have been completely fear-based. And so many children that are being born today are so very old souls, and they came here to make a difference, and they came here to shift the paradigm from the generations before them, because we will never have change if they don't shift the paradigm. So instinctively, they know why they're here. They don't need to learn as many lessons as we did, because they came with the knowledge already. And we perceive these millennials, as they call them, and, you know, Generation X, we perceive them as lazy, but in reality, they're coming to show us we came here to work smarter, not harder. We came here to change the world, to be better. And that's why
I'm living that, because I have a 15-year-old daughter who is addicted to her phone. And, you know, I mean, I remember when I was her age, I used to have to go get on the bus, go to the library, do research. And, you know, the old-fashioned way, look up encyclopedias or whatever.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. And now it's everything's at their fingertips.
Well, you know? See, technology is a part of the paradigm shift. And not to get too technical, but astrologically, we have left, we're right on the brink. So many astrologers believe we have left the age of Pisces, and we are in the age of Aquarius. Now, the age of Aquarius rules the airwaves. It rules technology. And the age of Aquarius is all about oneness, such as that song in the 60s.
That was a great song. I was just about to say, I like that song.
Yeah, absolutely. But even back then, we knew that Aquarius was coming around. And once that happens, Aquarius is all about oneness, love, and peace. And the age of Pisces that we were in since before the days of Christ is all about cover-ups, lies, and deception.
That
That's what the age of Pisces was.
because I'm a Pisces. I'm born in March, but I'm a Pisces. And when I used to sing that song, I used to sing, "This is the dawning of the age of asparagus." I used to sing it that way.
That's what you. That's funny. Nobody really knew, like, unless you were into astrology, who really understood that. But all these years later, when all these light workers are popping up and mediums and astrologers, and what we're doing is we're going back to the lay of the land and the way the natives used to live. We're going back to Mother Earth. We're connecting back to our galaxy, our planet, the way it was meant to be.
And it's funny that the technology shift is enabling us to do that. You know what I mean?
Just think about how we are able to, I mean, the internet could certainly be used for bad, but it can connect us without even having to leave our room.
Right.
It could connect you around the world.
It's incredible that you can get on FaceTime with somebody from around the world and just, you know,
right
there next door, you know? It's incredible.
Well, that's, if you think about oneness, right? Mm-hmm. Togetherness as a group.
Right.
You are me and I am you. It's all connected. Like, that's what's happening, is the internet is connecting us, but it's also disconnecting us.
Yeah, so, as long as the friggin' lines don't go down, right?
right. I mean, I guess you just, if that all the kids are being programmed, but at some point, once their heart opens, they'll realize the truth, as so many people are waking up right now. You know,
that is completely fascinating. How did you talk about that in your book, like about this, the new age and all that kind of thing? Because that's
super fascinating. I did talk about that. I absolutely did, and I spoke about so many different ways that we were actually given a toolbox to find our soul purpose. I always say we were not just dropped here on our heads and said, to be told, figure it out yourself. We were given a cosmic toolbox. And the planets are one of them. The numerology is another one. When you want to find out your life path, believe it or not, you can also figure out your soul purpose with the way that in feng shui, the way you arrange the furniture. It all has to do with what's blocking you from your soul. Okay, I speak about fear and love and how you can shed the layers to get to the goodness of who you are. And also what I spoke about before is believe your own truth. Find your own truth. Don't believe the next guy. They're only regurgitating information that they learned, and it doesn't mean it's right for you.
Right. There's a reason that, you know, hearsay is not allowed as evidence in the court of law, right?
Exactly. Thank you. That's a good one, too.
Yeah, absolutely. And it just totally makes sense. No, I totally agree with you on that. And, you know, I didn't even think of it that way until you brought it up. That's really cool.
Well, you know, I referenced Dorothy from The Wizard of Oz a lot in my book, in that metaphorically, when she was trying to find the great Oz to show her the way home, that is so symbolic for every single one of us every day live our life trying to find our way home. And home is not a physical place. It's into the heart. That's the true home, where you feel safe, where you feel connected to the divine and the source and God. That's home. So that's what she was in search for. Mm-hmm. And then ironically, when she found him, she realized he had no power at all. The power was within her, not within the external person or animal or whatever she came across along the way. You know, the flying monkeys. That represented her fears. So that whole movie was so ahead of its time.
Right, and it really is a comment on society and It is a comment on individuality and how you can actually become your own person and go as far as you want. I mean, the only person limiting yourself is you, to an extent. I mean, I'm a true believer that, you know, like people that are born into serfdom in India, for example, I mean, it is almost impossible to get out of that situation because of the, you know, the extreme
Yeah, you know, that's true, but there are secret societies of women that in certain countries where they're not allowed to learn how to read and write, there are secret societies of women that they go underground and they learn it to empower themselves in spite of the authority figures. And that has been happening since day one. I do believe that's how why the witches were, persecuted back in Salem. They had power. They knew their power within themselves, and they were, you know, persecuted. That's why Christ was persecuted. So I feel that no matter what society you were born into, when the soul is ready to rock and roll, it's going to take the lead, and it will find its way, right? Like with your children. If they're going to want to do something, they can do it right under your nose, and you won't even know it.
Oh, my daughter's like that. She will sneak around.
Your daughter's like everybody's kid will find a way. Weren't you a kid at one time?
Oh yeah, no, she takes after me. Absolutely, there's no doubt about it. And you know, it all has to do with free will. I mean, they have free will, and they are gonna execute their right to free will, and they're gonna take advantage of that, and as they should. You know, I think.
Well,
it's,
you know, I've always said I have three boys, and my youngest son is the most strongest-willed person that I've ever met, and he gave me a run for my money. And you wonder, where did this will come from at such a young age?
How old is he?
Well, now he's 25, but he fought me tooth and nail on almost everything, and he just never, he's still that way. He's still very rooted in his belief systems within himself, and he doesn't waver, and he'll go toe to toe. And you wonder, because it's just in the person to have free will, a strong will, or a weak will.
Right. That's quite interesting. I think, you know, I'm so glad that you're dealing with that in your book, because I'm telling you, tomorrow I'm picking up a copy, or tonight I'm just going to buy it.
Oh, you'll enjoy it.
Oh,
let me know.
Yeah, I definitely will let you know. We also have there's so much more that we can discuss, but just, you know, a couple more things I want to touch base with you on. In terms of, you know, in the next world, okay. You will find yourself, you're saying, you're alluding to the fact that, that it is very nice and all of that. But there's different levels, right? There's different levels of depending on your where you are. You tend to ascend to a vibrational state of where your soul is at or something like that. Can you?
That's correct. And I did write about all the different vibrations in the book. There are so many levels. Mm-hmm. Fear being the lowest, like a sort of the bottom feeder, and love being at the top of the list. So it's a scale. It's a sliding scale. And I don't think we all will be living in love 24/7 as long as we're in the human body. We do have the ego. We do have the instinct to survive. Ego encompasses pride, fear, guilt, all of it, shame.
Mm-hmm.
So, but what really the ego was intended for, and this goes back to the whole Adam and Eve eating the apple, which to me is a total fairy tale to represent the ego.
Right.
But so many people take it literal. Oh, my goodness, there was an apple, and they ate it, and it was forbidden. It's so all about the ego and how it needs to be tamed. It only served as a source of survival to use.
Right, self-preservation at the very first, yeah.
Right.
To run away from tigers and, you know.
And meanwhile, now we use it for the greed, and people ask me, why does God make such bad things happen, or why does he allow bad things to happen? And quite honestly, God gave us the free will to do the right thing, and man, with all his ego and greed,
every bad thing boils down to an ego, a person with an ego who's greedy and only thinks of himself.
Right. I think a lot of what defines a person is, you know, not what they've, you know, what they do or whatever. Well, it's how they react to certain things that are presented to them. That's what really defines your character. It's how you respond to it, how you
That's an amazing statement. That is so true. It's because there's temptations in life all around us, and it's mm-hmm. not a matter of what the temptation is. It is a matter of how you respond.
Right.
Whether it be to a temptation or someone who's trying to, you know, take you out of your game or get you all agitated or, you know, attack you. We're surrounded by that at work every day with family and friends.
All the time.
And so...
Yeah, it's amazing.
One of the biggest piece of advice that I like to give people when they say, well, how should I respond or how can I stay quiet in these moments? And it's more about staying in your own lane. And you're like, don't change your vibration just because someone else can't control theirs.
Right.
It's just if you control yours.
Yeah, and you know what? That's easier said than done, quite truthfully.
True.
But it is very, very good advice.
It's more a matter of why are they reacting that way. It's a matter of the amount of work they've done or how easily they're triggered. And if you work on yourself, and you stay in your own,
lane.
I guess, corner,
mm-hmm.
universe, lane, vibration, it's all the same.
Right, just different terms, yeah.
Right, it's a matter of that person will have their vibration. Because we could go on a subway or on a bus,
mm-hmm.
and we could totally be affected by what's sitting around us. And sometimes it's not pretty. You have homeless people in Manhattan. If you go to the city, in the bigger cities, there's homeless people. There's people asking for money. There's people rude. So could you just imagine if all of us stooped to that vibration, what kind of world we would have? Forget about it.
Yeah.
It would be like a jungle, which it kind of is, unfortunately.
Well, you know, that kind of happened in World War II. Hitler convinced a lot of people to be like him, right?
That's right. That's a good example.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
And
that's another example of following the pack and not living your own truth.
Right, absolutely.
I mean, there was another side to that, of course, unfortunately, but that's just people who were total victims.
Right. So what do you think happens, you know, you've had a lot of communication with the other side, obviously. At the moment of death, at the moment that we transition, what is your take on what happens? Like, what has spirit told you about that? This is always a very fascinating topic for people to hear.
So, what I've learned about transition, because
mm-hmm.
there never really is any death, is depends. When we're in the 3D physical world, being caged, and that's exactly what I call the body, the cage for the soul.
Right, yep.
We have to remember what I said. We see everything through such a narrow, restricted lens,
mm-hmm.
and that is what creates our own reality, you see. It's what,
correct.
It's how, what we perceive. So everything is consciousness. When you raise your consciousness, it's not necessarily a place. It's a state of being. The only reason we associate the soul with a place is because gravity is the only place on Earth that can house a dense physical body that is encasing the soul. So it's like a building that you live in,
mm-hmm.
if you live in a condominium, and
right.
there's 10 floors. Earth is the first floor. Heaven is the penthouse. You get to the top, which is the higher consciousness,
And once you get there, you see all the rivers, all the streams, the bigger landscape. When you're on the bottom, you can only see the parking lot. That's like how I like to describe consciousness. So when we leave the first floor, which is 3D, which is our body, which we call death, we rise in consciousness, still very, very, very aware of everything going on. We are just super aware because we see the big, we're on the penthouse. We see everything in its entirety, and it all of a sudden makes sense. And we understand how intrinsically connected we are to the divine and how we are never separate and were never separate. So we start to remember, and that is what's called home. We went, you've heard that term, with he's going home.
Right,
but that's
right.
Really the natural habitat for the soul.
But do
we're
we
in the stopover here.
We retain our individual, our individuality.
Absolutely. And that is why people, when they pass on or leave the physical body, their consciousness will remain where it was. Okay? So if someone was a wonderful person in life,
right,
and they understood what it was to give and to give of themselves and just really to be a good soul, good-hearted person, overall, I mean, we all have slip-ups because that's why we're human.
Right.
That consciousness is going to just keep rising like a hot air balloon. It was already on that path. It already knew right from wrong. It was already good in nature. Well, let me just say we're all good in nature. It was more connected to the divine while it was on Earth.
Okay.
So the only difference between an evil person and an evolved person is how far away they are from the light source. And we very often pull ourselves away from the light. We do it consciously. We spoke about we're conditioned. We're taught at an early age who we are by, you know, if you have a parent who was abused and he or she doesn't know any other way to parent, the cycle will continue. And
right.
And so, but there is always the spirit within us that dwells. And the spirit within us is always trying to wake us up to our authentic identity, no matter who you are, where you came from. So that's the good news, is we're never going to be, it's like a herd of sheep. You know, the person who's, he'll always herd the sheep and get them to where they need to go. It's like that's how God is. He'll never leave us. It's who we are connected to.
Right.
So we can never be separate from it. We can be distant from it, but we can never separate from it. And I don't care if it takes 150 years to realize how far away we are from it. We will always return to our source. Just like a fish, when if it's thrown out of the ocean, it will try to find its way back to its source.
Right.
Because that's the only way to survive.
Now, do you believe that, you know, we come back to, you know, to learn other lessons?
Yes.
Okay. So
I do believe in reincarnation, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Because there is no ending. It's continuous. They're timelines.
Right. Right. Now, it could be a reincarnation in this world, or it could be in other worlds that we don't know about, right?
Oh, absolutely. Because this, like I said, this is the only perception that we have.
Right.
So, if we never knew that any, I guess it's like before they found all the foreign lands. Like when Christopher Columbus,
right?
They didn't know those lands existed until they found them. You know,
right? Exactly. And you know, I was in last summer. I was in a planetarium with my kids in Chicago, and I got a really good taste of like how small we are, like, you know, in the universe, in terms, you know, Earth is, you know, we have our solar system revolving around our sun. Our sun is part of the Milky Way, you know, the galaxy, and the Milky Way galaxy is part of this and part of that, and it's just like, it's incredibly huge and huge out there, and, you know, it kind of makes you wonder, all right, just from the vastness, there's no way that Earth is the only planet that has, you know, life, because there's just so many other suns and billions and trillions of different systems and all of that. But at the same time, a better way, I think, of looking at that whole thing is, you know, through quantum physics. Quantum physics has proven that consciousness is what dictates reality and not the other way around. Your brain is just it's a receptor. It's not a producer of consciousness.
No, so, it's a filter. That's all it is.
Yeah, it's a filter. It's just like, you know, the analogy of the person on, you know, if you take a baseball bat to your TV and you smash your TV, you're not going to kill the weatherman, you know?
Exactly.
Just
that's
like
a good way to look at it.
Somebody's brains, they'll you know, the perceptor to that will that catches your reality might get damaged or whatever, but it doesn't change the reality. So,
no, it doesn't. It's just destroying the physical item, which is the body. Only the physical can perish. And not even that, if you're talking about quantum physics and energy, even that changes form. It doesn't cease to exist, such as Einstein said. Energy cannot be created nor destroyed. It can only change form. So, but this human spirit can never be destroyed by anything.
Right.
It continues on.
So on this on the same light, it always existed as well, right?
I believe that.
Okay.
Because there are some people that will say, well, who came first? You know, did God come first? I would have to say yes, because that's the infinite energy that encompasses all. That's just too vast for a human perception to even understand it on any level.
Yeah, like you said before, we made God in the image of man just so that we can understand it.
And that we can have. We're put here to create and enjoy. You know, contrary to the beliefs, we were not put here to suffer at all. We make our own suffering.
Yes, and we're very good at it.
Isn't that sad? But it's
true. We are pros at it. I think we're better at that than anything.
I know. And that's supposed to be changing now. A lot of new paradigms, new minds, new ways of thinking, shifts are taking place. And what a lot of people don't understand with governments and all the changes and everything, it's not so much how it's going to change. It's just important that it must change.
Right.
So get from point A to point B, it's not always pretty. And there's a cast of characters that sometimes are involved that are not very likable.
Right. Yeah, but we're not going to get into politics right now.
No, I mean, like, in anybody's life, even, like, if you hate your job and, you know, your boss is the catalyst because he's so mean to you that allows you to leave to find a new job, that guy was creating the change you needed in your life.
So that's
my point. We all play the role, some kind of role, to make a change.
That is true. I mean, something like that just happened to me. I just, you know, I'm a professional musician, and I just left a band because I didn't get along with one of the people, and I just had to do it. It's just one of those things. So,
but it's, that person is probably like a big catalyst and sole supporter for you, whether it seemed that way or not. If it gets you to a better place for you, then that's exactly why it had to be there.
Right, yeah. It's already opening up new possibilities for, you know, other projects. So I'm glad it happened, you know.
Right. So change is interesting, but it's necessary at this point, because I don't think you need to be psychic to see that if we don't fix something now, the human species as we know it is going to be extinct.
Right, especially with what we're doing to the planet and all that.
Exactly.
It's crazy. And it's crazy
the
how...
supply and... It's
not being recognized. You know, the polar caps are melting and the weather patterns are... The weather's changing. It's very evident. I don't know about where you are, but we've had the worst spring in history with the most rain and the coldest. It went right from winter to summer pretty much.
Yes. You know, well, yes. Are you in California? Where are you?
No, I'm in Albany, New York.
Oh, well, oh, okay. I didn't know.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm in New York as well, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you pretty much experienced the same weather patterns that we did.
And, oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, even the summers up here are becoming just as hot as Florida. It's like becoming
they are,
similar.
Yeah. It's because of the oceans are getting warmer because there's no cooling effect coming from, you know, from the top and from the bottom of the earth because the ice caps are melting and there is a global warming that's happened. There's no doubt.
Yeah. But also the age of industrialization. I remember when I was a child, we had two brands of toothpaste. How many do we have now? Think about it. It's ridiculous.
Right. And you know what? They're all made by Procter & Gamble anyways, just different.
But in order to create and make all of these things, we need a lot more of the, unfortunate.
Yep.
Letting a lot of toxins out into the air, that's creating this whole spiral. And so, yeah, as we have to wake up, and we are. I don't know that we'd see all the changes in our lifetime, but boy, talk about generation gaps from when, I'm assuming you and I are of similar age, since we both needed to research school projects in encyclopedias.
Yep, absolutely.
Right?
The good old days.
But talk about the generation gap. So from the 50s to our era, maybe what changed was the fashion and the music. Maybe that's about it. And the cars.
And color TV.
Yeah. Right. There you go.
Yeah, absolutely.
But
now
from,
it's incredible.
From our generation to now? Oh, my goodness.
It's scary. I was just reading on, what the future holds, and it's not far off that we're going to have, self-driving cars. You know, Tesla's come out with the Model 3, which is almost a self-driving car, and it's just crazy what's coming.
Well, do you remember that cartoon when we were growing up called The Jetsons?
Of course.
Right. So
of course.
All of those futuristic things with the moving elevators and the microwaves, we have everything they had. They were those visionaries of the day.
Absolutely.
Everything they have exists. Robots that can clean your clothes and take over our day jobs.
Right, absolutely. From as a musician, I'm thrilled to be living in today's age because of everything that you can everything sampled and you can have all of these different effects and things at your fingertips through a computer. It's really, really come a long way. And, the amplifiers are getting smaller, more powerful and lighter, easier to transport. So from that perspective, it's really a good time to be alive.
I have to tell you what I also wrote in the book that Spirit told me is if you are alive right now during this great planetary shift, you chose to come here, and you are one of the bravest souls there is, because this is not easy. This has never been done before, never. So we picked a real monumental time.
Yeah.
To be here.
I can definitely see it, and some of the life lessons that we learn are very, very tough.
Well. It's way different than anyone could ever describe based on the technology, the power that we hold. Just unfortunately, everybody wants everything yesterday and this fast-paced world. It's going way too fast, and so we need to just get a grip, go back to basics. And if we don't, Mother Earth is showing the wrath of her. And she has recently shown a couple of things.
Right.
And so there's just too many reminders that we are abusing our privileges. And so we're getting kind of tapped on the shoulder to bring it back to nature.
Right.
To nature. And bringing it inside of ourselves. that's how they used to do it, you know?
And, you know, with nothing shocks us anymore. You know, it's very hard to shock humans now in terms of, you know, everything's available. People see all kinds of stuff in the media, all kinds of stuff on the computer, on YouTube, on whatever websites you go to. And, you know, everybody's seen everything, and it's hard to shock us anymore. So
yeah, and it's hard to it's hard to please us, too, because, but besides pleasing or shocking us, there seems to be very few consequences as well.
That's true. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, without mentioning any names, if you look at the state of politics today, I mean, what's going on, what's going down today would never have flown, would never be, you know, allowed 30, 40 years ago. Impossible. You know what I mean?
Just, well, that's the point. No, there's just nobody's being accountable or taking responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone wants to look like the good guy and shove everything off on the other guy.
Yep, absolutely. Well, you know, I couldn't agree with you more on that. So, yeah, this has been, you know, this has been so fascinating talking with you, Kim. We, you know, we had a couple of those mishaps, but we've actually gone more than the allotted time, which is great because you're...
You know,
we can actually keep talking till, you know, the top of the hour, which is, I mean, if you have time, we can definitely, you know, I got more questions for you, and you're a fascinating person to talk to, so do you still have time to talk for a little bit?
Oh, sure, longer? Sure.
Oh, excellent. That's great. So we were talking about the, you know, the state of the world and the afterlife and everything. Do you... let's talk a little bit about your readings, okay? So when you do, let's say, a private reading, what can somebody expect? How do they prepare for it? What's a typical reading for you?
Well, first let me say that I'm not actually conducting private readings at the current moment, so I want everybody to know that.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good.
Yes, I am filming my TV show again at this current time. So I'm thrilled about that. I announced it last week online that the Haunting Of is coming back on the A&E channel, and it will be called Celebrity Ghost Stories. So everybody should look for that.
I'm sorry?
I said, so I just wanted to let everybody look for Celebrity Ghost Stories airing on the A&E channel in October.
Oh,
and
okay.
That's between... doing my, you know, filming the show and writing the books.
Right.
I haven't been able to stay in one spot for too long to do private readings.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Right, so so they're not available at this time, but mm-hmm. I had done private readings for over 20 years in my Long Island office.
Right.
And around the country. And what, I mean, I can still answer that because it's pretty important. People do still go for private readings to mediums, especially for the Forever Family Foundation. We recommend each other. We've been certified, and so we totally have no problem recommending each other. But what I would totally recommend to anyone who's going for a private reading is what people don't realize. And I can't tell you how many times I've had this happen to me or been said to me, and I know other colleagues of mine have also been put up against energy where people will come to you and say, you know, they will close their arms and they'll say as little as possible, and they just feel as if they don't want to give anything away, and I can completely understand that. But they take it to the point where if you ask them their name, not their last name, but like, they'll say, well, you tell me, you know, very defensive-like.
Okay.
So people don't mean to be closed. They just feel that if they're coming in as a skeptic,
And mm-hmm. I do believe in being a healthy skeptic, because right. I am a
open-minded.
Healthy,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you be skeptical. I encourage people to be skeptical, because I am skeptical. You know, you don't really want to believe everything until you experience it yourself. But at
correct.
The same time, when you close your energy off so much to a medium, you are actually blocking your own reading. So that's important information if you want to get the best, you know,
right.
reading. So some people don't realize they're blocking themselves off. And what I have learned over the years is, and this is just a simple question to my client, are you the same person in public as you are at home? And I say to them, answer it honestly, and they'll say, no, I'm quite different in public. So I said, so that mask that you wear in public, right now you're wearing it, take it off. Because if you don't take off that mask that you wear in public, you're blocking me.
Right.
No, and we've been conditioned to do that, not to be authentic, and to only say what we want people to know. Right? We have secrets. But that would not be the time when you're seeing a medium to think you're going to have a secret. That's not the time, you know?
Right.
So
I've learned that not everything comes through the way that you want it to come through. Spirit has its own mind. Spirit has its own ways.
Well, that's true. Like, vibrationally, there may be souls on the other side that match my vibration much closer than another medium that somebody might go to. So I've had people come to me and say, my mother, I've been to 10 mediums, and my mother has never come through, and that mother will come through with me. I don't say it's because I'm a better medium. Mm. I will say, well, maybe her vibration was very closely matched to mine, or
right.
maybe I was able to interpret her easier than the others, and vice versa. So I also have been told so many times by my spirit guides that people don't always get what they want in a reading, but they certainly get what they need.
Just like the Rolling Stones song.
Yes, exactly. And that, I love that song. And the truth of the matter is, I'm okay with that. I do not read the mail. I only deliver it. It's not my job to read it.
Right.
So when people get upset with the fact that they didn't hear what they wanted to hear,
mm-hmm.
or in my TV show, I have these celebrities who think they're coming for me to tell them why they had this paranormal experience at a certain location. And I uncover their deep, darkest inner traumas that have created the manifestations of the ghosts. They always say to me, I didn't expect this to be so deep. I thought I would just come here and you would tell me about who the ghosts are and I would be on my merry way. And I say, no, because it's the ghosts inside of you.
Mm.
So I do read the soul as well, of
right,
the person.
Right.
I told, because I work for both sides.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of dimensions to this, but it's as above, so below.
Mm-hmm.
So we are here on Earth, and so it is above.
Right. Interesting. So you, in your line of work, you're reading for celebrities and all that kind of stuff. We're not going to get into it or anything, but you must have a really fascinating life meeting all these people. That's really cool.
Oh, it is so much fun. It's so much fun to meet them, but what I have found is they're just really good at their jobs, but...
They're no different.
No different. They might be a little worse. I got news for you. In the sense of insecurities and... when I spoke about that mask, they've been trained to be someone else their whole life.
Right. Yeah, that's the acting in them and stuff like that.
Exactly.
Yeah, they're no different. They just got a couple of more zeros in their bank accounts.
Yeah.
<For sure. laughs>
just like the athletes, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I always wondered why they got paid so much money, like astronomical amount, but that's just the way it was. The system was set up back in the day.
Exactly.
I also, when someone's going for a private reading, I would definitely, besides being open as you possibly can and work with the energy, don't push against it, have a list of questions that you can keep to yourself, but that you would hope the medium would answer. Because by the end of the reading, invariably, always, the person, if I would say, do you have any questions, they would look at their list and they would say, actually, no, you answered every single one. Because Spirit knows what you need and what you're hoping to hear. Usually do get what you need.
Yeah.
And that's typically what you came there for.
Yeah.
So if it's a good medium, they'll pick up on the reason the person's
absolutely
there.
I've had, you know, in my journey, I started off not knowing any better, so I saw some mediums that, you know, put a shingle on their thing, and they're not good mediums. And I thought, okay, whatever, this isn't great. But then I opened up, you know, that's when I met Bob and Fran, and they turned me on to good mediums. And, it's a totally different ball game when you're dealing with the real thing. It's just, it's totally
well, it resonates with your soul. Not only is the information accurate,
mm-hmm.
It touches something inside your soul that you recognize as truth.
Yeah. I was fortunate enough to go to this one medium. She used to be the medium for Loretta Lynn. Her name is Georgia O'Connor, and she's phenomenal. She practices in Amsterdam, and when I booked my session with her, I said, okay, I don't want any what-ifs, so I'm calling you right now from a conference room at General Electric, where 5,000 people work in Schenectady, and I'm just calling you from a random conference call, not from my desk or whatever, and I'm giving you a fake name, and I will pay you in cash. And she says, bring it on. And I got there, and she pulled my son's name out of thin air, and she wowed me. She completely wild. There was no way she could have gotten that information.
What is her name? I'd never heard of her. Georgia?
O'Connor.
Yeah. People do that. They take off their wedding rings. They do try to dupe the medium. And
Yep. I just didn't want what ifs, because, you know, you pay with a card over the internet. They can see your name and they can Google you and all. I didn't want, not that I didn't trust her, but I didn't want any what ifs. And she came through in spades. She was just phenomenal. I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed that.
And I understand that. Mm-hmm. But like you said, if it's somebody with a very good reputation, somebody mm-hmm. who's been certified, because I always will recommend word of mouth, mm-hmm. if nothing else, word of mouth.
Right. And she came to me from word of mouth recommendation. It wasn't somebody, like previously, I looked up in Yellow Pages, you know, and what a mistake.
That's okay. That's a learning curve.
Absolutely.
That's how you knew the difference. If you didn't know light, you would never know dark. So that's the polarity.
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely. That's why.
Well, I'm happy you had that experience. And
I've had a really good one with you as well. I mean, you nailed it. You totally nailed it. And,
well, you know what I feel? That's why the Forever Family Foundation is so important. They do put their mediums through a battery of tests, and
mm-hmm.
they can very proudly recommend any one of us, because we did totally pass with the criteria, and they have a certain testing level, and they pretty much have it, you know, a very good system. And might I say, many of my colleagues and friends have actually not passed the test of the Forever Family mediumship. So it's not an easy test.
No, it is not.
It shouldn't be. It shouldn't be.
No, of course not. I've also had a reading with Teresa Caputo, and she was dead on as well. She was great. Fantastic. You know, and these are people that I've heard of because of the Forever Family Foundation. And they're just doing great work for, you know, for mankind.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it's like anything else. You know, people have come to me in the past who have lost their children or their spouse. And it's not something that's so widely accepted. It is becoming that way now, but the generations that these parents came from, it was almost as if it was like, hush, hush, don't tell anyone that I came to see you. So many of them would start off the conversation by saying to me, I normally wouldn't come to see someone like you, but as if it was like a bad thing, you know, but it was just the conditioning.
Right. I think it's becoming more open. I think the only thing that's preventing it from really exploding is, you know, still, you know, science is based on materialism still a lot.
And, it is. You know, it is. It is.
Yeah.
That's part of the problem.
So, but the...
But information speaks for itself, you know. Information like that you received from that medium that cannot be denied, it speaks for itself.
Oh, it made a believer out of me. For sure.
Yeah, it speaks for itself. And how do you explain that? You cannot.
Yeah, and you know, at some point you just got to stop wondering how and just accepting it and for what it is. And then I think you can move on and benefit from it and then explore further. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's like trying to explain God. You can't.
Right.
And that's like trying to explain cell phone signals. They're there, but you can't see them. You can't explain them, but you use them every day.
yeah, absolutely.
Well,
you know what?
Yes.
This has been the most fascinating hour and a half ever for me. I'm so happy that, you know, that we had our little electronic hiccups because I got to spend more time with you, and so did our listeners.
And everything happens for a reason then, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it was a very fascinating discussion tonight. And I did talk to you a couple of months ago. I think we had another, maybe about a year ago.
Yes, we did. We did have another conversation.
Yeah, and you were just as pleasant then as you were today. And again, I thank you for spending the time and for putting up with the technical difficulties. And you know, I'm sure our readers really enjoyed it. Our listeners really enjoyed it. And we're just gonna let everybody know again about your new book, Your Soul Purpose: Learn How to Access the Light Within. I know you're very excited about it. I'm very excited about it. Why don't you just quickly tell our listeners how and what's the best way to get a copy?
Oh, well, they can go on any retailer site, but I have everything on one site, and it's called YourSoulPurposeBook.com, and you can purchase the book from any retailer. And, of course, if they want an autographed signed copy from me, they can just go on my online store, which is KimTheHappyMedium.com.
Oh, okay. Great. And... that'll definitely be, I'm sure there'll be a link on the Forever Family Foundation website for that, with that information.
Yes, I believe they will link my website, absolutely.
Of course. Absolutely. All right, well, Kim, thank you so much, and we are at the top of the hour, and it was fascinating to talk to you, and I mean, I wish you all the best and all the success. I know I don't have to because you are very successful and with good reason, but I just, you know, I wish all the best for you.
I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay.
It was great, great talking to you and catching
up.
Thank
you. Absolutely. And, you know, like Bob and Fran say that, you know, our loved ones are only a heartbeat away, and science is going to prove it one day. So with that, I just want to thank you again and wish everybody a good night.